It's telethon time. It's September. It's the Bob Enyart Live annual telethon. Can you help keep Bob Enyart on the air for another year? I know you can do it. Every subscription, we're giving away Bob's brand new video on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you ever wondered what happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Have you ever wondered why it is that God put that tree in the midst of the garden? I've wondered a lot of things about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Bob's brand new video version of his insightful teaching on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is free for anyone who subscribes to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. You can also get the monthly sermons on MP3 CD, or you can get the video version of the monthly sermon videos on DVD. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. And Bob's monthly topical videos give you a new topical video each month. And with the best of Bob, you can get the best 8 Bob Enyart Live shows every month. Folks, I know you get a lot out of Bob Enyart Live, and it's time to pay a little bit forward. Help keep Bob Enyart Live on the air. Call us up or go to kgov.com, subscribe to one of Bob's monthly teaching series, or just make a donation, $5, $10, $5,000, $10,000. It's the Bob Enyart Telethon. We need your help to keep on the air. God bless you.
It's the place to be before the election, the Colorado Right to Life Banquet. Hi, I'm Greg Jackson. And personhood should be back on the ballot, and the nation's hottest, newest radio host, Steve Dace, is coming from the heartland of America to Denver, the heart of personhood country. Dace will encourage us to fight on to victory. So come out Friday night, September 14th, register online at coloradorighttolife.org or call 303-753-9394. That's 303-753-9394 or go to ColoradoRightToLife.org. Register today. Don't hesitate.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Bob Enyart Live. I am the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, September 11, 2012, we remember the terrible attack in New York City and in Pennsylvania back on September 11, 2001. I have a look back that I'd like to do at what we discussed on the air during the attacks. And then the following day, as we posted this online, and also I was scheduled to do a seminar in Indiana at Winona Lake on the end times, and I presented much of this also there in that seminar. So I'm going to repeat some of this to see if, looking back now, it's 11 years later, were the things that we argued at the time immediately as 9/11 was unfolding and within the next 24 hours, and then that I preached at our church on Sunday and said at the seminar in Indiana, do these things, do they survive the test of time? Or is it now obvious that these things are wrong? Now, by the way, someone just before we went on the air called in to give $1,000 toward our telethon. So, wow, that's just an honor. So thank you very much. That's now, what, $1,750 toward our $30,000 goal to keep Bob Enyart Live on the radio for another year. So please help if you can. Our website, just go there. You could subscribe to our monthly services. That'll go to the telethon, or you could give a one-time donation. 1-800-8-ENYART is our phone number. The website is kgov, like government, kgov.com, or call us 1-800-836-9278. By the way, someone else called in. I was just handed a note. This is exciting. someone wants to support the Colorado Right to Life Banquet and the Bob and Your Life Telethon at the same time. So here's what they've said. If someone wants to go to the banquet with a paid ticket, that's $100 a plate. If they call up Bob and Yurt Live and subscribe, that's one of our monthly subscriptions, like our topical DVDs. You get a DVD once a month, or our DVD verse-by-verse Bible studies, or our audio MP3 Bible study albums, or our sermons, or we have these really neat, or our classical BEL televised classics DVDs, the old TV shows that are timeless. If you call up or go online and subscribe and you request a free ticket to the banquet, we have two of those available. Two. So two people. If one person wants two free tickets to the banquet, that's not too hard. Sign up for two subscriptions. Say topical DVDs and a Bible study album, for example. So give us a call or go online, kgov.com, 1-800-8-NYART. 11 years ago this day, about 3,000 people were killed. And we talked about this, and here's one of the first observations that I made, that the hijackings were not a failure of airport security personnel. It wasn't their fault. It was a failure of security strategy. Hijackers will always be able to get weapons of some type onto airplanes, even ceramic or plastic knives invisible to metal detectors. Even getting weapons on the plane other than through the jetway. Pilots should be armed. Pilots should be armed. On Israel's El Al Airlines, undercover and armed security guards, they're ready to deter a threat. And as a result, isn't it true that El Al in the history of the airline has never had a single hijacking? Not one. And who do you think would be the number one target of the Islamic terrorists to hijack what airline? El Al. Police and government officials should have a benefit from the airlines that if there's a seat available, they could fly free or at a great discount if they're armed. So federal marshals, for example, they want to go on vacation. If they're armed, they should be able to get a discounted seat. Or police officers. So this type of hijacking that so affected America's economy and made us significantly less efficient in our workings of our economy because of the hypersecurity that we put in place as a result, this type of hijacking would not have succeeded on El Al, and it didn't have to succeed. And after this, a pilots union requested, they were advocating that pilots carry guns. And the Bush administration came out against this pilots union. And I think that's a great tragedy and one more example of the liberalism that was the Bush administration. Like giving Planned Parenthood hundreds of millions of dollars more than did Bill Clinton, for example. Just small examples. And brand new socialist healthcare, government healthcare reform with a prescription drug program, that which is costing us twice as much as it was supposed to. So same thing with Romney Care was just upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. Some people call it Obamacare. It's Romney Care. Okay. Self-defense. Heroism on the flight that crashed in Pennsylvania prevented that plane from crashing into the White House. That heroism. We should encourage and teach self-defense. Our war against guns has created a victim mentality. Pilots in the past, pilots have been taught to comply with hijackers. How's that for a victim mentality? Feminist groups tell that to women. Do what the rapist tells you. It is just so despicable. It increases a victim mentality. For one, if there's a criminal trying to grab a woman or anybody, they should never permit there to be a second crime scene. He says, get in the car or I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to stab you. You don't get in the car. It doesn't matter what. You scream, you fall to the ground, you bite, you kick, you defecate, you throw up, you do everything conceivably possible to resist what he wants to accomplish. So guns enable self-defense, and they deter criminals. Now, prosecution. We should pass legislation to prosecute all members of known terrorist organizations. Now, on Bob and Your Live, we explain what terrorism is. The vast majority of conservative talk radio, I've noticed, they don't. So what's the difference between murder and terrorism? Well, terrorism is when a group or an individual attempts to affect domestic or foreign policy by the threat or the actual use of deadly force or other types of violence. So that's terrorism. And so we should pass legislation to prosecute all members of known terrorist organizations for murder. That's what you get prosecuted for if you are arrested. You get charged with murder because you're a member of a known terrorist organization. And we should prosecute all supporters of known terrorist organizations for conspiracy to murder. Instead, you have people who operate almost with impunity supporting terrorist organizations. George Bush had the Bush Doctrine. It was brilliant. He said, if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. But then George W. Bush, he failed to enforce his own policy. Instead, for example, with Yasser Arafat and the PLO, instead of recognizing that they not only harbor terrorists, but that they funded terrorists and that they were terrorists, instead of doing that, he gave them tens of millions of dollars. So here we had the Bob and Yurt Live doctrine. You know, the Bush doctrine, right? If you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. We had the Bob and Yurt Live doctrine. If you are a terrorist, you are a terrorist. Now, the Bush administration being liberal, and remember what that means. They have a hard time being consistent on simple matters of right and wrong. So they fund a terrorist organization. They fund them because it's the politically correct thing to do. So, under deterrence, if a foreign nation harbors or supports terrorists, we said this on day one during the unfolding of the attacks. I was on the Information Radio Network. I was headed to the Information Radio Network studios. I was on the road between the first and second planes crashing into the Twin Towers. I've been in the Twin Towers. We had a birthday party for my cousin's daughter up at Windows of the World, up on the top of the World Trade Center. Probably cost $180 a person for a meal. It was fun. Well, my mother, we grew up in New Jersey, in Hawthorne, New Jersey, and sort of on High Mountain, that geologic feature. Two-story home. She's up on the second floor, looking out the old porch window. And from there, you could see the New York skyline. We grew up, my great-grandfather built that home. We grew up looking at the New York skyline. And she saw the second plane hit in the explosion as it hit, not on TV, but she saw it with her own eyes. She was far enough away, she couldn't see the plane. She saw the explosion. And so I was speaking with her, and we said, well, obviously, this is a terrorist attack. And so I hung up, talked to Doug McBurney, went into the studio at Information Radio Network, went right on the air, and we discussed that if a foreign nation harbors or supports terrorists, that America should dismantle that government if possible. Nations bear full responsibility for any act of war perpetrated by their terrorists. We should not just punish such a terrorist government. If possible, we should bring that government down, and that would help deter future governments from supporting terrorism. Osama bin Laden, as the crisis was unfolding, and There was a time period when the plane that landed in Pennsylvania, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, in the field, that it was unknown exactly what happened to that plane. Now, the FAA knew that that plane's transponder stopped transponding. So they knew that something seriously wrong had happened with that plane, but the public didn't know right away, and it was some hours. And there were, if you recall, there were rumors that there were fighter jets that had been scrambled to shoot down civilian aircraft and all. And I think all that turned out to be rumors. And that's part of the conspiracy theory that 9/11 was an inside job, that they said, well, why didn't we have fighter jets shoot down these planes? And that's a typical phenomenon of conspiracy theories. It's the omnipotent government. They think that they watch too many movies. They think the government is omnipotent and it could do anything. So at any given moment, we could scramble fighter jets and have them shoot down passenger planes. And in reality, that's not true. So as the crisis was unfolding, I was in the studio at the Information Radio Network on the air. And then the final plane crashed. We found out about that. And when we discussed, well, who did this? The host, Larry Bates, myself, the guests who were coming on the show, we all said this is Islamic terrorist, and that Yasser Arafat, I made this point, Yasser Arafat doesn't have the ability to do this. This is most likely Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda. They tried to destroy the World Trade Center, what, the previous decade, and they failed. They tried, right? They had explosions in the parking garage beneath one of the buildings. They damaged the building. They didn't bring it down. So they were determined. That was obvious. So this was terror done on behalf of Israel's enemies, on behalf of the radical Islamic world, by Osama bin Laden, the international terrorist who was being protected by the Taliban. Now, our government was run by liberals. Now, this is not George W. Bush's fault, because he just came into office just 9 months earlier. So this is the whole government's fault, Republicans and Democrats. And they had decided that they agree with the ACLU, and we need to erect a wall of separation between the CIA and our domestic police force and the FBI. So when the CIA gets information that someone is an international terrorist, they can't give it to the FBI, because that would be like spying on people. And we want a wall of separation. And one woman who wrote the memo and advocated this wall of separation ended up, remember we had a 9/11 commission, how did this happen? Had a committee that wrote the book, the 9/11 commission. She was on the commission. Now, she should have been investigated. That was incompetence to tie the hands of law enforcement behind their backs when it comes to international terrorism and to people in America who are supportive of terrorists. That was insane. But that's typical, right? It's like we create our own mortgage crisis. The people who created it are the people in Congress who are saying, we need to get to the bottom of this and see how this happened. And they created it. So America had monitored Al-Qaeda training terrorists to kill Americans. By videotape, Osama bin Laden claimed responsibility in the bombing of the USS Cole. So those actions already provided sufficient cause for America to attack the Taliban government and pursue bin Laden by force and assassinate him if necessary, or apprehend and execute him after trial. We had authority to do that, just authority from God, but we didn't do it because we don't know right from wrong. We're politically correct. We're somewhat incompetent because the government tries to do everything. Take care of little kids in first grade. The federal government does everything. They take care of your vegetables. They take care of your health care. your education. Oh, yeah, and we got to deal with defense of national security. So when you try to do everything, you end up doing nothing very well. And that's the federal government. State governments, this is true of them also to the extent that they do this. So those are all areas under security. Now, foreign relations. Every time we condemned Israel for punishing terrorists, which we did somewhat regularly, we unwittingly took the side of the terrorist and encouraged them and encouraged terrorism generally. So we were wrong for condemning Israel for punishing terrorists and terrorist acts. Respecting terrorists. We treated terrorists as dignitaries and terrorist regimes as valid governments, and that only invited more terrorism. When we conducted diplomacy with terrorists like Yasser Arafat, which George W. Bush did, I mean, he funded them. Unwittingly, we validate terrorist tactics because Arafat gets this air of respectability. He could meet with Bill Clinton, right? America saw the widespread Palestinian celebration, the spontaneous dancing in the streets at the news of our tragedy. Almost the whole world grieved. As we would grieve if this happened in Russia or China, we would grieve for the people who were killed by whoever it was. If it was Tibetans who blew up a building in Beijing and killed thousands of people, we would grieve for those people. And we might think, you know, well, Tibet, they have a point because it's not right for them to be occupied. But we would grieve for those people. We wouldn't celebrate. So when America and the world saw Palestinians celebrating the spontaneous dancing in the streets, I read that book a while back, Son of Hamas, great book. And in the West Bank, in the Gaza Strip, they have this tradition, their culture, they throw candy in the street to kids during parades and holiday celebrations. So I saw with my own eyes women throwing candy to the kids in the street, celebrating, cheering, spontaneous. You can't make that stuff up, right? That's a cultural hatred and affirmation of terrorism. Because Osama bin Laden is not a nation. Now, a nation can go to war against another nation and bomb them. God authorizes just war. But there are rules for just war, but God does not authorize clubs. You know, like you might have a club, like Animal Rights Club. He doesn't authorize clubs to kill people to affect public policy changes. And Osama bin Laden was not a nation. He didn't have a government. Nations have a natural deterrent because they have boundaries and they have natural resources. And so a nation is vulnerable when it unjustly attacks another nation. But a terrorist group that's invisible, it just melts away into Pakistan. And so this is why God never authorized individuals or private groups to attempt to affect public policy by the use of lethal force. By the way, you learn about this stuff like at American Right to Life's website. You learn about these kinds of principles, about right and wrong, use of lethal force and all. You could look, for example, at the article on abortion vigilantes. So America should fastidiously maintain justice in our foreign relations. Why? Because enemies have long memories. When we wrong a nation, we should confess and repent. When we punish a nation, we should do so swiftly and painfully and not drag out punishment for many years, increasing the bitterness. Remember Bill Clinton bombed factories in Libya? And he did it the night that the Monica Lewinsky testimony was going to air nationally. The White House press corps was in shock because you know where they were when their beepers went off? They were in a movie theater. They were following Bill Clinton. And I forget what city, Boston or somewhere. and they were watching a movie called Wag the Dog. It's a Hollywood movie where a president started a war to distract from his sex scandal. And as they're watching Wag the Dog, their beepers go up. Remember we had pagers? Their pagers go off, and they all rush out of the theater to find out that we just bombed a milk factory in Libya, apparently. And that was the very day the Monica Lewinsky videotape of her, she was subpoenaed, and she had to testify. It was on video, and that was aired. And so Bill Clinton bombs, and he announced that day. I remember, he said, this is the beginning of our war against the Islamic terrorists, however he said it. In the beginning, that was the end. It ended that night, started and stopped. So when the Arab world and a majority of the media in this country, I recall a news report that said, based on a survey, a majority of the reporters in America believe that Bill Clinton bombed this Arab country to cover up his own sex scandal. That was a majority of reporters who are liberal and Democrat and pro-Clinton. What percentage do you think of Arabs and Muslims around the world believed that Bill Clinton bombed them to cover up his own sex scandal? What percentage? How close to 100% was it? Because do you know that movie, Wag the Dog, did phenomenal business overseas in the box office? Phenomenal business. And they viewed it as a documentary. And so where was our government apologizing for that? And what I'd like to do is, on today's show summary, we'll put a link to 10 years ago when we did this show. And you could see, how does it compare 10 years later? And by the way, there's a lot more that we simply don't have time for. The show used to be an hour. Now it's a half hour. I got to talk fast. Listen as quickly as you can. We'll get through this. So our telethon, our goal is $30,000 to stay on the air for another year. And in simply the observations we've just made, the biblically based, the Christian worldview observations, how beneficial would it be to our nation and our children's children if more people in America knew these things? How beneficial would it be? And how harmful is it that Christians end up being apologists for child killers and government healthcare reform socialists and people advocating homosexual marriage and implementing homosexual marriage? And we have our Christian leaders defending those kind of politicians in the name of saving America. How harmful is that, and how beneficial is it when you take an unapologetic biblical worldview and teach that to your neighbors and your culture? So that's what we do here at Bob and Yurt Live. So if you want to go to the banquet this Friday night, Colorado Right to Life, it's right at Quebec and I-70, just about 5 blocks south or so. It's $100 a plate. We have an offer for 2 free tickets to that banquet if someone subscribes to 2 of our Bob and Yurt Live monthly subscriptions. 2 for 2. Also, we're now at $1,750. By the way, if somebody subscribes to a $25 monthly offering we have, we add $250 toward the telethon. We'd then hit $2,000. So we'd be $2,000 toward our goal of $30,000. If you subscribe, just go online or call us, kgov.com, and then you get to go to the banquet for free. Hey, God bless you guys.
It's telethon time. It's September. It's the Bob Enyart Live annual telethon. Can you help keep Bob Enyart on the air for another year? I know you can do it. Every subscription, we're giving away Bob's brand new video on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you ever wondered what happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Have you ever wondered why it is that God put that tree in the midst of the garden? I've wondered a lot of things about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Bob's brand new video version of his insightful teaching on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is free for anyone who subscribes to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. You can also get the monthly sermons on MP3 CD, or you can get the video version of the monthly sermon videos on DVD. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. And Bob's monthly topical videos give you a new topical video each month. And with the best of Bob, you can get the best 8 Bob Enyart Live shows every month. Folks, I know you get a lot out of Bob Enyart Live, and it's time to pay a little bit forward. Help keep Bob Enyart Live on the air. Call us up or go to kgov.com, subscribe to one of Bob's monthly teaching series, or just make a donation, $5, $10, $5,000, $10,000. It's the Bob Enyart Telethon. We need your help to keep on the air. God bless you.